Good morning. This is Dr. Brass Sacks. You are on the ear. Welcome back. This is Dr. Brass Sacks. You're on the ear. You're listening to your radio and not your phone line. I'm on the phone, not on the radio. Good morning. This is Dr. Brass Sacks. You're on the ear.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Brass Sacks. You're on the ear.
Are you listening to the radio or are you listening to the phone? Okay, we'll go to the WhatsApp callers and we'll rest the telephones for a short while, given that we're not hearing you on the phone. One WhatsApper says, as I recall it, overfishing. It was overfishing, which I guess he's responding to the conversation we were having earlier with the gentleman who spoke about the... He spoke about the reason why we don't use sea eggs, or wait, not that we don't use sea eggs, but why there's that particular ban on the use of, or the fishing, the poaching of sea eggs. He said he recalled it to be overfishing, but perhaps the caller has more intimate knowledge of the reasons behind the sea egg ban. Are you with us? This is Dr. Brastax. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm a first time caller when it comes to you, Lisa.
Clearly.
Do you know this voice?
Yes, I do. I've listened to you before on the radio.
Okay. Nice to meet you. Nice to talk with you.
Same.
Lisa, there are certain callers that call this program every single day. When CBC had their talk show, they call every single day, both. Now, Arthur happens to be one of those people. A lot of times, he is right on point. He comes with facts that are true. They're accurate. You can check them out. You can research them. There are other times he mixes his apples with his oranges. No way your travel expenses are a part of your salary.
Could you repeat that one? Say that again. Expenses.
Your travel expenses are never a part of your salary.
Arthur knows that good well.
Then why did he say it? Because there's people out here who are learning from this program. So why would he give a false statement like that?
Well, people should also listen to the moderator. If the moderator doesn't know, the moderator usually said we will get that back to probably we'll verify that later on. And I told him unequivocally that that's a no. And he asked me if I got travel allowance before, etc. It's a no. Your salary is your salary.
I know. You don't have to explain to me because I was an accountant.
Right.
And I know. And he claims he was one too, which I don't understand. And if he was one working in the public sector, I understand now why, if the Auditor General of Barbados listened to this program today, he must be reeling with laughter to understand why he had to write down so many recommendations in all of our Auditor General's reports. Mm-hmm. Because this is ridiculous. Arthur needs to sometimes stay off the program because he's getting on my nerves. Now, I'd like to talk about our children, the nation's children. I know for a fact, and I'm speaking from experience as a mother, a grandmother, and a caregiver to plenty of children in my neighborhood. Rarely do you see me out on the streets alone on the weekend. I usually have a group of children in my neighborhood to give their moms a break. They go up to Chefet. They knock themselves out in that playground. I feed them, and by the time they get back to their mothers, all they need is a wash up and in their beds. They don't even want to go on cell phones or watch TV. They're tired. They've got all that extra energy out of them. I've never had to put my hands on any of these children. I've never had to call them out of their names, and I've never, never shouted at them. I speak calmly. I read them the riot act before we go out.
Quietly.
Quietly. Mm. They seem to understand, and their parents don't understand, because they say, the first thing they say to me when I bring them back is, Miss P, did they give you any problems? I said, none of them. And I had five. Everybody could witness me up at Chaffette at Worms, and people turning their heads to see me walking in on a Saturday with five to seven children and no problem. They behave themselves, and that's it. Now, I, as a child, didn't get all this corporal punishment. I didn't have a mother that was quick to slap me up. She did it originally with my older brother and sister that were raised and spent their formative years in Barbados, but she never really, she learned other ways to deal with me, because I didn't tolerate anybody putting their hands on me. Mm-hmm. So there was other ways to deal with me.
And so is it because you didn't tolerate it, or because at that time she was a little bit more?
Well, no. First of all, I'd sit there and see her telling my Bajan brother and sister to go bring the stick. And I wasn't at the age to get beat with a stick. And they would go get this little, I think it was her rod, like out of the Bible, the stick that you measure, because she was a dressmaker too. You measure, I can't remember, a ruler, the long rulers, the yardstick. That's what it was called, the yardstick. And I'd say, well, they're a bunch of dummies. They're bringing her, and they're standing there, and she's telling them not to cry. This ain't never going to happen when I get older. And the first time my mother attempted to tell me to bring the stick, I said, I'm not bringing any stick for you to beat
me. How old were you at that time?
I was about 6 years old.
Okay.
Six. And I said, there's no way. I'm not bringing it. And as a matter of fact, I ran out of the house.
Different children handle things differently.
Yes, yes. And my mother decided, this child, we cannot beat. I must speak to her and learn how to deal with her and punish her in another way. And that was done. My only problem was, I was a very friendly child. So my mother was terrified. She knew, because she grew up in Barbados, what goes on with children that are too trusting and too friendly. Mm-hmm. So she made me street smart at a very young age.
Okay.
So street smart, I could teach the other children in the neighborhood what life out there on the streets was all about when we went to the playground, and who to stay away from and who we could deal with. And as a matter of fact, my mother taught me, do not be alone ever in a private setting with any man, woman, or older child that you know you can't beat up in order to defend yourself against them. These are the, you can't depend on parents to teach their children. Parents are stressed out. The school has a responsibility to teach children what some parents are not, and most parents are teaching their children.
What are some of those mechanisms that you employed in as you reared your children?
Well, I had one daughter, and I remember her coming home from school one day and complaining to me that all the kids are going home to their parents and telling her group of friends, telling their parents what the teacher said to them, and their parents are going up to the school. I said, what did the teachers say? Well, they called an assembly. All the kids came out in the yard, and they told us on a microphone that when we come to school, we leave all our problems at the front door of the school. We've come there to learn.
Hmm.
We've come there to learn. And I went to school where corporal punishment was never carried out. It was against the law for a teacher to put his hands or her hands on another child.
So what were some of those things you employed in terms of, reared your child?
When my daughter told me this, I said, they're absolutely right. Anything that happens between you and I at home shouldn't be brought to that school where you met out that anger on another child or a teacher. And if I ever hear you've been disrespectful to a teacher, whether you're right or wrong, I will go up to the school and I too will call an assembly. And they will all watch me do what I need to do to you in front of the whole school.
Which is what? Let me hear.
I'm trying to think of some clean words to tell you.
You know, but I'm asking you that because we say we employ these particular things that worked.
Right.
Oftentimes we use similar things and what the cultural mores are, you know, the norms of the Barbadian society. Were you
a hitter
or were you a shouter? Were you you said you don't shout now, but when you had your daughter, how did you handle disciplining her?
I'd get very quiet when she, like, and I nip it in the butt right away. If she came home and she answered me in a rude way with what or whatever, I would be very quiet. All through supper, I would not say anything. After supper, I'd say to her, I didn't like the way you spoke to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened in school, what happened on the way home, but you tell me about it now, and I, as a parent, will deal with it. If it has nothing to do with school or coming home from school, then I'm going to tell you right now, I am the adult in this house, and you are the parent, and you have to learn to respect me in the same way I respect you. When you call me when you're in the bathroom, I don't know if you fell on your head. I come right away. I do not respond with what.
So my only question to you is, why did you not take the grand opportunity during supper to have that discussion when y'all are having a meal?
No, because I'm a very sensitive eater. You disturb me before I eat, I can't eat. That's
okay.
The reason why I'm serious. Everybody is different. Some people eat a lot when they're angry. I'm the reverse. When my mind is unsettled, my whole body is unsettled, and I cannot eat. And I don't believe in it. And I don't believe in giving children bad news or anybody bad news before bedtime. In the morning, we can discuss these things before you go to school.
Okay.
You know? And in my school, because we didn't have corporal punishment, well, what they did to us was sometimes worse than corporal punishment. Because we were punished in front of the whole school, where we'd have to scrub the hallways in the school, clean off the furniture, stay in the bathroom and wash out the sinks. There, and it was humiliating because all your friends knew that you had done something wrong. And
that's interesting that you call it humiliating, because when we look at some of the schools in Japan, the children actually have as a means of, I mean, that's what they have to do. They are no janitors.
They have to clean. I saw it on Facebook.
And I think that's pretty interesting.
And I posted it, and it works. And the Japanese, because I worked in a Japanese company in the United States, we had that same system on our job where there was punishment and reward. You know? Punishment and reward. So what happened in my schools also happened in the workplace. But I was ready for it. There was no retaliation because we were already taught that we have to be accountable and responsible for our actions at a young age. We could not say a friend made us do it. That was totally unacceptable. We had to be held responsible for our actions, and it didn't start in what you call secondary school. It started long before that, where you'd have to go in front of the class and apologize for taking someone's pencil, humiliating again, because you had to admit to your wrong deed.
The only thing I'd say here, just for correction, is that the system in Japan is not a punishment. That is what the school does. There's no janitor, there's no... You know,
exactly.
That's a way of life. Clean where you live, clean where you are, clean what you go to, etc. So that's more teaching children responsibility, etc.
Well, I went to a fair here at St. Winifred's on a Saturday. The young children in that school were cleaning up during the whole, if you went to the restaurant area.
Yeah, they were rostered.
They were cleaning up. Yeah. I heard they have to clean their desk every year.
Yeah, that's important.
You know, this is a part of growing up. I had to go and do groceries. My mother could have done it, my older brother or sister. But as we grew older, we were given a list. And we had to go to the store and do the groceries. We had a day where we cleaned out the bathroom. I tried to duck out of it because I hated it. But I'd rather do dishes, dry them, put them away, rather than, and I tried to get my brother, older brother, who was 6 years older than me, to do it. But
so we have
I,
issues in relation then to, I'm wrapping you up here now, respect,
okay.
Chores, responsibility, discipline.
Accountability.
Yep.
And that's all you need. And if the parents can't do it, it has to be enforced in the school.
Okay.
It has to. And I don't think we need corporal punishment because I'm against it. I'm totally against it. I think it teaches children to be liars, sneaky,
ooh,
devious behind your back. And it doesn't work. It never did work. You know, it's something we need to get rid of for
okay.
the best of our children. It was a pleasure speaking to you, and I will call more often.
Same here. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We have one WhatsApper. He said, in my day, I got whipped. We never kill or fight. And today, what? I would not continue to read that. What I would encourage our WhatsAppers is to write some things that we can read and decipher what you're actually saying. But they said in their day, they got whipped. The other part is a little strong, so I wouldn't go that far. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good morning.
Yes. Thank you. It's afternoon, Laura.
Sorry. Yes, it is. It's actually 20 minutes after 12.
Yes. Good afternoon to you.
Yes, sir.
And to the Christians.
And to the?
The Christians.
Oh, to Christians. Yes.
Yeah.
Good afternoon to the Christians.
I ain't really in a location where I hear on the radio all the time, so I keep abreast of what was said earlier.
Okay. Is this the caller who calls normally in the first or the second calls?
Yeah.
Okay. The voice sounds familiar. The voice sounds familiar.
Yeah. But did Ash Baines, they mentioned today on your program?
Yes, it was one of the first things I mentioned.
Okay, because somebody said that this is the year of the Lord, you know, the secular holidays falling upon the Christian holidays.
Okay.
Right? So,
okay.
All
secular
Fool's
holidays. Interesting.
All Fool's Day now going to be on Easter. I think that's what it was heard. That's what I heard.
You know that the Christians don't own a holiday, though. You know that, right? You know that this same Ash Wednesday that you're talking about started 325 AD. It wasn't anything that Jesus said, oh, you should do this, and then we follow it. This is just a practice that persons in some Christian communities follow.
All right, I will put it this way. The Christians claim all the pagan holidays, and then through the Christians, we just celebrate these holidays now. Right?
Okay.
Yeah, that's how you like it, man. Anyhow, I want to pick you up on something that you said Monday, right? You had Mr. Lane in with you. It was an interesting program.
Okay.
I listened to it. Right. The honest, absolute science, or honest thing that science have that they can say is absolute, to me, is mathematics. And what I mean is that you mentioned that when you say that your child is not the product of the environment, right? That's what you said, right?
Say that again.
Right. The child, you are not the product of your environment. I think that is what is being said by the expert.
Yeah, it was an ideology that was brought by one of the sociologists. And it's still held very strong by a lot of people.
Because, as I say, it is not the only science or fixed thing that science have is mathematics. There's truth in that. But what you are is just one the minority of people that actually would break out of it, right? Because it is not an absolute thing. It is just like the weather. Anytime that you have to study nature and these products of nature, it can always change because it is not absolute, because it is also a scientific fact that you can change your you can change where how your brain wired, or change your the DNA. They say that the DNA is because it was once said that the environment would affect your DNA, but it is the other way around, right? Mm-hmm. So it is not a fixed thing, and it is a truth in it, and it's also not absolute, because it depends on the character of the person. And you seem to have one of these people that have a strong will, that you can actually get over things and try to fight the system. And they like that about you, right? Because I was one of these people too, and I out to the boss, right? Mm. Next thing, the terrible bus transport system.
Yes, I'm hearing that there are only a few buses available.
Uh-huh. I would like to know that if this government walk is committing suicide when it comes to the transport board. Because, I mean, why would you be at the eve of an election and people in a bus terminal suffering for a bus? These are people that will probably help support for you in the next election. Huh?
So they should be fixing the bus issues, transport issues, so that persons are more amenable to
I would think
voting for them.
Because, Lisa, I don't think that. When it comes to the point arguments, sometimes I already know what they are. You know, they was talking about the economy last time. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if you got people waiting and wasting time and killing time in a transport system, would that affecting the production and all them things that got to do with the economy? It ain't just, you know, about the things, the jargons that they're talking about. All these small little things is what matters to me. And these politicians, when they get in these positions, they don't seem to look at the life that, you know, the small man have to bear with. Because, I mean, if there would be catching, but I mean, I think all of them probably got cures. Because if they go through the experience of waiting more than 2 hours in a bus stand or at a bus stop,
they would then fix it. They would fix it because it comes down to them.
It is, to me, it's not a small matter. It is actually actually wear down the minds of people when they have to wait that long.
I don't know if you saw on CBC TV last night, or I think it's last night, there was a bus that was made in Barbados.
Okay.
That is now a mobile health. It may very well be in the press. It was launched by Sagicor, and it was built in Barbados by a manufacturing company in Barbados that builds buses. And my only question is, why can't we employ the services of that entity to provide us with a few of the buses to meet that deficiency that we have right now? What is the issue?
I don't know.
And that is something that I think that we should be asking the powers that be. Why can't y'all do that? I mean, I understand this is 9 years, a little more than 9. I think it is 11. I stand corrected. That Barbados has not purchased a new bus. And I'm saying, if we can get buses being made for the private sector by a local company, why can't we get some of those buses made? That's just a question. Continue.
Yeah, I ain't really want to attack this government because
somebody said they didn't know buses were made in Barbados. Yes. Right out there in St. Thomas. I visited the plant just a couple of months ago.
What back in the day?
The same place that owned Acme. The building has been bought by two Barbadian nationals. Mm-hmm. And they now, I think one has now pulled out of that agreement, and there's only one gentleman running it. And they have a staff of about 50. And they are the ones who do a lot of the repairing of the transport board buses, along with some other work. But they built a bus. I know there's one that was built for another entity. I wouldn't call the other entity's name. Also a private sector down on the West Coast. But I know for sure this one was on national TV, so you can call it. But they built a bus for Sagicor just recently. Mm-hmm. Why can't we get some of our buses built here? Anyway.
Right.
You go
okay.
on.
Okay. Right. I will call on all Bajans, though. If this government don't have a good explanation why they cannot do what you say and get this transport system working. Don't go to the poll voting for put back in the same very people. Because I know I sound like I'm a supporter of the DLP, but if you really check my ideology of what I was speaking about on the society and not joining on the economy, you will see why I sound like I'm supporting DLP. But the people that got to catch the transport board, all of us cannot afford cars all,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
All of us can't. And then if all of us could, if according to what Mr. Arthur said, a car to every house, then probably we would drive them because we can't get out, right? You would need flyovers then, or I need helicopters. So we are customers. And the government, we are part owners of the business of government and yes, customers. So if you are not being treated well by who you have in power, I say they need to be fired, right? But yeah, the thing is, I would like to see a new set of people, but they can get in there. I would say I agree with a person. I would not agree with Peter Vickham that we got to look at giving these people one term. Because when they get the second turn, it seems like they don't care anymore. They just get the pension and that's it.
So you agree with just two terms then? I'm going to wrap you up. You agree just with two terms then?
I agree with two terms.
Just two terms.
After this last government come in, we vote for another one. If they don't give us what we want, you give the one term and fire them and get a new start.
Thank you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I'm here reading some of our WhatsApps. We have one person who says, Ms. Gale, Hino and Roadrunner buses were made here for years. The transport board even has a few. They could have gotten a few of the locally made buses, which are constantly in use here and proven to provide good services to the traveling public. But obviously buying locally made buses doesn't fit with some person's agenda. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. We're going until 1 o'clock, so we have practically about 19 minutes to go. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Lisa, you'll be very polite, man. I'm very respectful of you. Make no mistake. I get a little angry and flustered and stuff. But you know, you're on that. You're facing the public, and I suspect you recognize all that's part of the responsibility. So I don't think you'd actually take it personally. I would still like to have the freedom to be able to open up. But
you don't have to walk on eggshells with me.
You don't have to walk on eggshells?
No.
You sure about that?
And I'm very aware of your attempt on Monday not to walk on eggshells, and you noticed that I didn't even budge.
Well, good. You didn't budge because you could have budged, but you just didn't think it was the right time to do it.
Not necessarily time, but if you have a statement to make and you've made your statement and I don't have anything to add, I wouldn't.
Good.
If you ask me a question and try to share something with you, I would.
Okay, fine. Well, you probably may have disagreed with everything I had to say.
Probably not.
I hope you did disagree because I was criticizing you. So if I criticize, or not you, but I was criticizing the establishments that you more or less represent based on the kind of work that you do. But, look, hey, you will have an opinion on that.
The only thing I'll tell you is, why is there an us and them? And why does there have to be a divide?
There is a divide. There most certainly is. The Labour Party does not represent me.
No, we're not talking Labour Party. I thought you were talking services versus goods. You see now?
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm going to say. Please,
you presume.
That's exactly what I'm getting at. Because they don't represent me. They never had.
So in other words, you like milk and another person doesn't like milk, so you don't care about the person that doesn't like milk. They're the enemy.
I care about the persons who don't like milk. I'm very concerned about the fact that they do not care about me because I do.
No, but you're presuming that the person who doesn't like milk doesn't... I mean, let's put it straight. You're assuming that people who purport for the advancement of services in a country have little regard for manufacturing in a country.
I disagree. I think they have no regard.
And that's your opinion and your perspective, and I don't share your view.
Well, maybe because you might work directly with a manufacturer or two, but when it comes to government policy and farmers, with regards to farmers and manufacturers and artists and artists, there is no regard. There's absolutely none. In fact, the people who work with their hands probably only have a chance when they go through construction. And even that is under threat because now that they're dealing with the Chinese, and I am absolutely 100% as to why that is so, and it's been going on for about 15, 20 years.
100% what? You didn't say anything there.
No, because if I say so, they're going to cut me. Because they're going to tell me I can't talk about campaign
flabbergasted
financing.
Flabbergasted, you could say. You could use the word flabbergasted.
Flabbergasted. my, oh my goodness, my English is so...
You have good vocabulary, which you choose not to use when you're upset. And I would encourage you to use the language that you know.
Which is Beijing?
No.
You're good at Beijing.
Trust me, I see you use some very interesting, colorful language at times, which you don't need to use.
Oh, I see. Well, yeah, fair enough. That's probably part of the environment, too, because we all use we.
We only have a few minutes. Tell me what you're going to add and share for us today.
Oh, we're finishing at one. Okay, here's the thing. See, look, there has only been one party. Two factions, one party. Same philosophy and everything. And when they come to the public and say, we have to choose a governor general or a director of prosecution or, you know, independent senator, or judges. Mm-hmm. In particular, we have to choose a central bank governor. They would make it seem as if, okay, we take this name and we give it to the opposition and they have to agree with it. Then we carry it to the GG and she would ratify it and then it becomes so. But it is all one party. So they're not going to choose people who will be opposed to the two, the two factions. If they have to be part of the process. You're not going to choose somebody on the outside. Even if you're an independent senator, you're really not independent after all. You are either in the Labour camp, the Labour Party camp, either B or D, which is both one and the same. And this is the problem that I have. It is clear that if the central bank has become the bank of the government of Barbados, which means it got the bank of the Democratic Labour Party and the Barbados Labour Party, because they were there before. If the central bank has become that, and you know it should not be that way, Klein, because that is a danger to us all, because they should be making decisions that have absolutely nothing to do with image and the way you present yourself to the people in an election year, then it should be a public service responsibility. There is no way you should have a government of the central bank, for argument's sake, as a contract. That should not be so. But do you think that if you bring the other side, the other faction in, the Barbados Labour Party in, that they're going to change that? They ain't going to change that. You think they're going to change the way the Senate is made up? Because the Senate is not just a rubber stamp, as people claim. It's absolutely useless enterprise, only giving people an opportunity to go and speak in public. You think they're going to change that? They ain't going to change that neither. You know, what I don't understand about this politics thing is if I say you, Lisa, I am going to fire you. I done with you. I ain't want to see you again. Mm-hmm. You ain't got no right coming back and knock on your door and say, after 5 years, well, look, give me a chance again. You should be gone. That's what I don't understand. If I fire the Democratic Labour Party, and
don't choose to run, you have a lot of good ideas, and
if you have to run, you gotta be able to do so, knowing that if you don't win, you can still make a living.
Somebody's gonna take away your manufacturing? You
don't have the time to do it. Okay. You got time to spend 2 or 3 minutes by the telephone and cuss them because they deserve to get cussed every day, but you don't have the time to go and go in the house like one every day, like twice a week. You know, once a week or something, one for the cabinet and one for the lower house. Oh, you gonna find time for that? People have work to do. Hmm.
You don't think politicians do work? Don't you think that time that they spend to craft policies for the country, not only just the economy but the society, you don't think that they are doing something to advance this country?
That could be done in 2 days. I ain't gonna take 5 years.
I think that we minimize the work of the politicians,
I'm sorry?
We minimize the work and the...
We minimize it enough.
I think we do.
I don't think the governance model we have is a complete waste of time.
I think the governance model needs addressing. I can share your view there for sure.
It needs completely replacing. It is a useless, very expensive...
What can you replace it with? Huh? You have any suggestions?
You know something? You know what the Chinese do? The Chinese are taking advantage of these democracies now, so-called democracies, because they know they're going to need money to keep going. They're going to need money to advertise and stuff. And that's why they're getting involved at that level. They don't have to worry about that every 5 years. I think, personally, yes, there are better models out there. I'm not saying that a one-party dictatorship is best, but I'm just saying that, something? What we have is the absolute worst, irrespective of what Mr. Churchill would want to say. Oh, democracy is a very, very bad system, but all the others are so much worse. That's a waste of time. And because Churchill said so, I'm thinking, don't even listen to him, because it's not true. Here's the thing, ma'am. Here's the thing.
I'm going to let you wrap up there.
If it is possible that for some reason people could recognize that it doesn't matter whether you got a Democrat Labour Party or a Barbados Labour Party, you have exactly the same party running, perhaps you can recognize the need to have a real change. Real change does not mean switching from one to the other. It means switching them out and going up. If the environment...
So you're recommending that we go with another one of the third parties?
Anything but the two of them. Now, even if they failed, at least the environment would have been developed where new people would be more willing to come forward. And eventually you will get that person coming forward or that group of people coming forward who will do the right thing or have the right ideas. But it's not going to happen if you keep swapping from one and back at the other. And, oh, wait, I need, it's my turn now. I'm back at the first again. Because you're stuck spinning top in mud. Does that make sense to you?
Thank you for your contribution. I hear you. I understand your thoughts. And we'll see what other persons have to say. This is Dr. Brastacks. You are on the air. We have 9 more minutes. Stop listening to your radio and listen to your telephones.
I will be listening now.
Yes,
now,
sir.
I would like to put forward something that I read a very long to say.
Okay.
It happens to be that with school. I went to school at your own boys' school.
At which school? And
you getting me?
I'm not hearing you. You said you went to school. Could you turn your radio off? Not even Carl down.
Turn down the radio for me.
Tell Cordell to turn it down.
Yes.
Or off.
Yes, I was in Twitter Rowan Boys School. And those days, children were loving and kind. Nobody would carry a tool, a knife, or anything to jack at one another.
Mm-hmm.
I am grieved, my spirit grieved within me. I'm asking the churches to come together and pray for Barbados that the Almighty God will bring a change to the people of this day and generations. I can't believe what's going on, that this is the Barbados that I born in. No, person, I am making a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
I am asking the government to call upon the parents of the schools
mm-hmm.
and ask the parents to make sure when the children leave the home on mornings to school that they don't have a knife or any sharp weapons to hurt anybody's children at school.
Mm-hmm.
I am begging the government to do that. And he should have...
The government or the teachers?
Huh?
The government or the teachers?
The teachers.
Okay.
You know, and not only that, we should have security at the school nowadays. It is wrong that you got a child and you send them to school, and then you get a message your child in the hospital with a cut wound or a stab or something. We should have make it possible that there will be people there, men, certain men, the boys, and the women, certain the girls, because girls don't like every man to touch them or something.
Okay.
And I am asking the government to make it sure that people should be able to feel happy to send school their children on theirs.
Okay.
Try to change the situation. I went to school and nothing so never took place. And people were loving and kind to one another. Today is the generation that don't care about nobody but themselves and certain friends.
Okay, that is a good contribution. There were some interesting times. I keep hearing that these things happened in the past. And, you know, so I'll hear more views. This is Dr. Brastacks. You are on the air. You're on the air. Are you with me? This is Dr. Brastacks. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Yes, good afternoon, sir. I think you are probably the last caller.
Yes, ma'am. I was waiting so long that all I have to do now is speak my one. Try to get over what you have to say.
Yeah, you got
to
do it quickly because we're wrapping up.
That's what I mean. Yeah, why did Barbados... As we often say, we should go to the people to get their opinion on certain matters. And one of the most important things concerning the Barbados, life of Barbados, which can turn around the life of Barbadians, the democracy, the social life, and so on, and can put a curse on the whole nation, is that decision we went to the United Nations before the people consent.
To do what they went and did.
And vote, make a vote against Jerusalem.
Without
against,
the people's consent.
Jerusalem against one side, the Palestinians, and yet we should not have gone to make a decision.
So that brought a curse. That brought a curse on Barbados.
Because it could bring a curse on Barbados because that's something spiritual. God.
So Barbadians can't pray.
Jerusalem, a Jew cannot be a Gentile. No, a Gentile cannot be a Jew. No, mm-hmm. You can't be a whole Jew.
So when Jesus died, he didn't say he died for the Jews and for the Gentiles?
I would have wanted to pick it to pieces if I had more time.
If you had time. But you know that Jesus died for the Jews and the Gentiles, though.
That's a very important thing, you know.
But you know that Jesus died for the Jews and the Gentiles.
You got to put a curse on the
No, no, no. Let me tell you, sir, based on the theology that I know.
That I know.
No, let me tell you that Jesus became a curse for the people who choose him. So when he became a curse for those people... Any curse that anybody puts on anybody can be reversed because Jesus said he came that they may have life and they may have it abundantly. So this talk, and I'm being very serious with you. This talk about persons who do things and cause curses. Curses can be reversed. The children of God have far more power than they think. You know, he said that he said, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." So stop speaking death when it really isn't death. Speak life. So I would encourage you to speak life. I'm sorry that we didn't have a little chance to have a greater engagement on this very important topic. But I'm sure that we did give the legislators an opportunity to make representation for us. So when they went and they voted on behalf of Barbados, they knew what they were doing. I know some of the decisions that are made by our politicians, we don't agree with some of them. And we are free to have those perspectives. But be very careful when we say things like, oh, they went and put a curse on us. Because that's not how it is. We don't live that type of... That's not the existence we have right now. Thank you for listening to me. Today was a very special day. The day of Ash Wednesday as well as the day of Valentine's Day. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for all of your callers. My name is Lisa Gale. It was